You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back, wrapping things up here on this fabulous Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, Free KJ, your voices have been heard. Kevin Jones making his triumphant return to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Kevin, before we get into the business at hand, I know that there are a few things you would like to say to the audience.
It feels great to be back, guys.
Great to have you back.
Thanks for the outpouring on Twitter. And it was a controversial segment, and, you know, we talked a lot about it in the office, and Judge and I have mended fences. There's no ill will there. We're even discussing a possible charity event where we do box and give our funds to a charity that we agree on. So it was Cleveland Browns radio history last week, and I'm glad to be back in the fold.
It definitely had the biggest live studio audience of all time for this show, but it's good to have you back. Most importantly, the kid wanted you to know that you have his full support. He endorses you, Free KJ. He's a big fan of yours, so
means a ton.
That'd be a great tag team,
which is nice.
What would be their tag team name?
KJ and the Kid.
The Bushwhackers. We'd come after them.
The Bushwhackers. So let me ask you this. Your articles about John DeFilippo have gotten a lot of buzz, a lot of traffic right now. If you haven't seen them, go to clevelandbrowns.com. 12 things you might know about John DeFilippo, and also 8 significant comments from John DeFilippo and Mike Pettine. Tell us a little bit about the 8 significant comments and what you were trying to do there.
What I took away yesterday from Flip, and that's what I'm going to call him, is DeFilippo is a little bit of a mouthful. This guy is really going to come in here and throw the football. I didn't get any indication yesterday from that press conference that there's going to be a commitment to the run. He's talking about splitting out Crowell and West as receivers. He's talking about getting playmakers on the field. We know last year Kyle did get some input in the draft. He got some input in whether or not certain free agents. The offensive coordinator is going to have some say at the table here. He wants more playmakers and to get the ball around the field. That was my initial take. And he's a people person. He's going to fit in with this staff, with Jim O'Neill. He's a fiery guy. Pet said it's impossible to be in a bad mood with Flip. I like that. If you're going to be spending hours and hours, you want to like this person. And Flip really thinks highly of Pet, too. I've talked to a bunch of his former coaches that he worked with. So this is a place where he wanted to be. Pet made it clear Kyle Shanahan didn't want to be here. Flip wants to lead this offense and Johnny Manziel, so we'll see.
But don't you think, though, that his ability to prove that first and foremost, that they can be successful throwing the ball, and every team that we see, and I think that, they're in some cases, the Patriots might be an anomaly when it comes to this. But we look at, even the best quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger succeeds with his running game. Aaron Rodgers, you talk about the Green Bay Packers as an organization butting, up against that playoff wall. But once they had Eddie Lacy and James Starks and they were able to run the football, just opens things up. So I think that throwing the football too much would actually be like a direct kind of negative for this football team, because it actually goes away from who Mike Pettine is as a coach, coming from the places that he's played.
I'm not saying it's going to be the Packers. I'm saying they're going to come in here and not be like Kyle Shanahan and say, hey, we're going to run the football, try and stop it, because teams literally said, all right, we're going to stop it, and your offense is going to struggle.
Right, and do you think a lot of that comes with the uncertainty that we had at quarterback?
I think that there was growth stunted with Hoyer trending downwards and Johnny not being as ready as everyone thought. Circumstances kind of hit the fan with the passing game. There are playmakers on the team with Hawkins, with Josh Gordon. So I just think you need to add more, and Nathan has said it too. You have to be able to throw the ball from the pocket to win in this league. You can't just be a running team.
And to go back to your comments earlier when you had me on for 5 minutes earlier, you just made a statement that Brian Hoyer was trending downwards, but yet you want him to return here to Cleveland.
Because Alex Mack, and because the defense had some lapses there in the middle of the season. So I really think that Brian Hoyer will, if he returns, would have more wins than Johnny Manziel next season. Do I think he's a better quarterback for his career than Johnny Manziel? No. Do I think that the Browns want to be in playoff contention and not be in rebuild mode? Yeah, and I think that's why I personally think Brian Hoyer would lead the Browns to more wins next season than Johnny Manziel.
I just want to think that there's somebody out there that can be even more successful.
I do too.
Than Brian Hoyer, because you know what you have in Brian Hoyer. And frankly, the stats, KJ, are not good. Bottom of the league in basically every category imaginable for a quarterback. Third down conversions, accuracy percentage, things like that.
I don't want to call him a Band-Aid, but I don't
think you can get a better Band-Aid.
Who?
I personally would rather take a shot on Mark Sanchez.
No way.
Mark Sanchez
no.
is in the AFC Championship
Especially
games.
With a new offense.
He played, I'd rather take a shot on a guy like Mark Sanchez who has the pedigree that made him a first-round pick.
Way too many interceptions. I know that
I'd
Hoyer's...
rather take a shot on Ryan Mallett.
We know that Hoyer, when Alex Mack is healthy and the defense is playing well, the Browns will win the game. They did that against the Bengals. They did it against the Steelers, the Saints. Really good teams.
Were the Saints good this year?
Pretty good.
Saints didn't make the playoffs in a team who won. A team won that division with a losing record.
All right. They weren't amazing. They weren't the normal Saints. But at week two, that's a big win
we
when they played
them. We beat the Steelers
them.
Before the Steelers really got going, I think. We pounded them pretty good. We beat the Tennessee Titans, who were not a very good football team during this stretch. We beat the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were not very good football teams. We had a decisive, unbelievable win over the Cincinnati Bengals. That was probably the finest
This isn't
moment.
Me giving up on Johnny either. This is just me saying I think Brian Hoyer would lead this team to more victories next season. He's just much more of a polished quarterback. And
I agree with that when it comes to Johnny Manziel.
When certain things are lined up, like Mac being healthy and the defense playing well, I don't even want to take a risk and bring Sanchez in here because the Browns already know Brian Hoyer can play well when the circumstances are right. Now it's the NFL. Things go crazy, haywire, injuries, everything. It's hard to keep a perfect storm. But right now for me, Hoyer is a safety net. Mark Sanchez, question mark, all
and
over
my,
the ball.
And my point that I tried to make earlier, but we were cut short, is but it was as easy as it could possibly be for Brian Hoyer, and things still weren't perfect for him. The offense, the defense with injuries and guys missing, you know, Josh Gordon being out. Three times harder next year with the schedule that they play.
Sanchez is going to ask for more money than Hoyer.
Okay, what
you don't want to pay Sanchez. You really don't. He was with the Eagles. That's a gimmicky offense. Anyone can put up numbers and look good in that offense. He comes here. I don't see that succeeding at all. I see that blowing up in our faces. I don't want Sanchez at all.
Sanchez is one guy, though.
Listen,
you know?
Sanchez is only going to be here if Mike Pettine wants him. Mike Pettine knows him as well as anybody. John DeFilippo knows him as well as anybody. So if they want him here, that'll speak volumes. If they don't want him here, that will also speak volumes as well. Now, an interesting article just posted on ESPN.com by Pat McManaman and Jeremy Fowler talking to 20 sources on and off the record about Johnny Manziel. And the picture that it paints is not pretty. A guy who was not prepared, did not take it seriously, had a consistent pattern of not being there on time, et cetera, et cetera. And that it was not a surprise. There certainly seems to be a lot of doubt, it sounds like, about him. Now, they think he can make a change, and you're hearing that the message, I think, being delivered by Jimmy Haslam last night. You were there at the Cleveland Sports Awards. What was your impression about where this organization stands on Johnny Manziel?
I think this is the thing about Johnny. He has an addictive personality. Right now, he's addictive to being a celebrity and being in the public eye and hearing what people think about him. I think Flip and some of these guys can make Johnny switch to be addicted to football, addicted to becoming an Aaron Rodgers, a Drew Brees, a guy who can lead this team to the playoffs every year. He is obsessed with winning. He was at Texas A&M. They need to pound that home to him here. I think he's willing to listen. And if he's not, he's in big trouble.
How do they do that if the organization is not set on him being the guy, even though he could be the guy, and meaning you're going to add competition to that room, whether it be Brian Hoyer, someone else, a draft pick, that if, and I just think because of the life that Johnny has lived, which is that, you know, that red carpet been rolled out with his family having money and then him assuming that Johnny football role at Texas A&M, in the face of adversity, you know, which is going to be created, it's going to happen at some point. It's just happening early in his career because he didn't come out like gangbusters. That will Johnny Manziel crack in the face of adversity, or i.e. competition in that room this year?
If I were him, I would delete my Instagram, delete my Twitter, not do anything on social media, go away from the public eye, hibernate in San Diego with a quarterback's coach, really show commitment. And I know, oh, he's a kid, he can do what he wants, but it's starting to get past that point. I used to be here defending him, saying, let this kid party, let him do what? No.
You loved him more than anybody.
I was my first time ever on this radio, I said, take him at number four. This guy is going to be a very good quarterback. And some of the off-the-field things have taken control of his life, in my opinion. And I think he really needs to hibernate, get away from it all. All the attention. He should not be in another headline until July or April when he arrives for OTAs. If I were him, that's what I would do. I would literally fall off the map, become a better quarterback, and take the league by storm because I think he does have the talent and potential to do that. I don't know if he can get out of the public eye, though. The coaching staff has to get with him and say, Get addicted to football. That's what we need from you. That's what this city needs from you.
That's what he's got to do. Johnny Manziel talking with Kevin Jones, staff writer, ClevelandBrowns.com. Talk about the Cleveland Sports Awards. You attended them last night. What did you think? It was the first time I was ever there. I got an opportunity to work it a little bit. I thought it was a pretty cool event. It was cool to see all three owners out there at one time as well.
I'm from Washington, D.C., so for me to see a city like this really unite together, D.C. would never do an award show like this. It's about politics. It's about restaurants in D.C. Cleveland is a sports town through and through. You saw it last night. People attended this thing. They paid $300 just to be there for 2 hours. They really care. I think they should add more awards. You know, make it more of like an ESPYs. Make a breakthrough performer. Or I think they should. They really could expand the program. It was cool how they got the high school and college athletes involved too.
Yeah.
Craig Robertson, Mr. Community. This guy is at every event.
He sure is.
This linebacker, his smile is contagious. Nathan was on stage hyping everyone up. It was amazing. Eddie George. What were your thoughts on Eddie George? Did he do well?
I did think he did well. I was actually very impressed with Eddie George. I thought I didn't know what to expect from him, but I thought he came out and delivered a strong statement early. He told some good stories that got people interested in what he had to say. So I thought all in all, it was strong from Eddie George.
I thought our owner, Jimmy Haslam, had a really funny opening remark about the 1996 Citrus Bowl.
I mentioned that earlier on the show. Yes.
Yeah, of course, Haslam, a Tennessee fan, and George got stonewalled there at the goal line, so Ohio State lost. That was funny. The back and forth of an award show, really, it was well done. I was impressed.
It does, and that's why I think when you look at the award shows, you know, nationally, the Emmys, the Grammys, like, that's why there's so much marketing done with who the host's going to be, because the host sets the template of what that night's going to be. You know, regardless of who gets the awards, which you're kind of left guessing, you're going to show up to be entertained first.
One thing I forgot to mention, I was swooning over Cardale Jones. This guy has swagger, personality, the it factor, whatever you want to call it. There were longtime media columnists posing for pictures with this guy. He was so humble. Reminds me kind of
national champion. That's why.
A humble Cam Newton is what this guy reminds me of. Smiles lighting up the room. Everyone was obsessed with him. I don't know what's going to happen this year at Ohio State, how much he's going to play or not. I love this guy as a prospect. He can be a face of a franchise. You can trust this guy. He's going to do big things in the NFL if he goes to the right team.
We hope so.
Again, ESPN with an article. We hope, kind of speaking of the opposite of that right now with Johnny Manziel, the article just posted by ESPN.com, and they're talking about, you know, the incident where Johnny didn't show up on that Saturday morning, reportedly the party, etc. Two team sources said security found a player who they felt clearly had partied hard the night before. One source used the words, quote, drunk off of his beep. The official word was that Manziel was late, but players said they didn't see Manziel till the Browns chartered airplane prepared to take off that afternoon, as he was not present at all in the morning. Johnny is his own worst enemy, one source said.
I mean,
it's no surprise.
Yeah, I feel like we know all this stuff already. I don't know. Is there anything new in this report? I respect both of these ESPN guys, but this is all information that we've already had.
And then what's really funny is, again, in that same article, you know, it states, you can't blame Johnny. This is who he is. And the teams, you know, well beyond just the Cleveland Browns, knew this is who he is. So we knew going in what came with Johnny Football and who he was. And if we didn't, you know, then Ray Farmer and some of his scouts and staff need to be reevaluated, because we're reaping exactly what we thought we would sow from Johnny.
And Pettin says we don't want to micromanage guys out of the building. Are we reaching the point where one player has to be micromanaged? I don't know. That's a discussion worth having, I think, if you're the personnel and the coaching staff departments.
And if he's the guy and the future of this organization, which he has yet to prove, but if and when that time comes, and say he does go out this offseason and shows flashes of what he could be, which is why all of you thought he would be the week one starter in 2015, at that point, if I'm Coach Pettin and Ray Farmer, I create a position to literally be a babysitter to keep him on task, because it directly affects the result of 16 football Sundays.
You got to hope that that is not what you need to do, that is not the case at all. But we'll see. It very well could be the case for him, and that's what you might have to deal with Johnny Manziel.
Hey, I'm going to have an article coming out about Flip, our new O coordinator. He really helped save one quarterback at his first gig at Fordham. I'm not painting parallels here, but that article will be out Monday. Flip has a really good identity of getting guys to buy in and really believing.
So go ahead and check that out. Kevin Jones, Mr. _ Kevin Jones on Twitter. Great to have you back, KJ. Enjoy your weekend. for Kevin Jones and Matt Wilhelm and the kid, we got to thank Ian O'Connor for joining us. I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned
thank
for the
Miz.
Golden Boys. Thank you to The Miz. That's right. WWE superstar, Cleveland's own The Miz. Good luck to him in the Royal Rumble. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They will have Pat McManaman, who wrote this article on Johnny Manziel, coming up next here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks again for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Shout out to the rotation. Come on, use me up until there's nothing left.
Take back the night. Dizzy, spinning, sweating, you can't catch your breath. The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.